This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. All right, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Somebody have a special? I thought maybe you were going to get up and play the background music to a special. All right. What I want to address here, especially in light of tomorrow being Valentine's Day, is the various forms of love that are found in Scripture. I won't touch on all of them, but a number of them. But first and foremost, any talk of love has to have a perfect standard to draw from. If you don't have that, whatever you say is just opinions. And they don't hold water. So we look at verse 16, 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed that the love of God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So the standard is an absolute standard, and that is God is love. All right? And whatever we're going to say, that determines definitions and applications. There's a lot of talk that people bring into the conversation. If he's love, he wouldn't have done the things he did in the book of Judges, in the book of Joshua, and all this other kind of thing. But they don't understand what true love is. They've bought into the lies of modern-day society and think that if you discipline your children, or even worse, if you practice church discipline, you're not very loving, when in fact, if you're following the Scripture, you are. So everything has been polluted in one way or another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you'd like to turn there, is the love chapter of a carnal church. And in the midst of three chapters dealing with spiritual gifts, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, we have this kind of a parenthesis to set the standard by which these people were to operate. I remember years ago dealing with some teacher, and he said, you know, God has given me six gifts. And he just paraded around what he said they had given me. I don't see that as really practicing love, or as the Scripture says, charity. So I'm going to read the first three and then go down to the last verse, which was our memory verse last week. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I wish I had been more knowledgeable when that guy said that. I would have directed him to verse 2, because that's where he was coming from. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. So in dealing with these different aspects of love, it's important to see, to know, to believe, and apply the word with a correct attitude. Because if you don't, then everything you do is in vain. Yeah, there's no reward of any kind. So first of all, go with me to John 15. I want to talk about the love of God to man. John chapter 15, our verse that I think normally we would go to is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then chapter 15, look at verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Right. So we see how God loves us. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Hopefully this is all review, and you should have a working knowledge of this. But then again, this is good to go back to. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know how you can get beyond that and think, you know, that God doesn't love man. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3, 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Not only did Christ die for us, but when we trusted him as Savior, we are called sons of God. All the time lifting us. And man spending a lot of time today taking him down. Stick with the scriptures. And then chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. The love of God to man. Everything is founded on that. All right? Now let's reverse it. The love of man to God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. A few of these in the Old Testament. A few in the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. What is there that you should not love God with? I mean, you're supposed to give him everything. He wants all of you. Chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. So in light of what Deuteronomy 6 in verse 5 said, in verse 13, let's read here in verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. All right, we don't have prophets today. We have teachers. So we could substitute, there arise among you a teacher or dreamer of dreams. They got plenty of them. And it giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind. Do you realize the things that have come upon Bible-believing Christianity are there to find out, do we really love you or not? Because a lot of people have bought into the charismatic movement and the different forms of that and signs and wonders and all this other stuff. And God allows that to happen to find out, do we really love him or do we not? And if we weren't tested, how would you know whether you had something or not? There has to be some resistance. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua's getting ready to give his last words in chapter 23 in verse 11. He says, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Now, all the people in the 40 years, only two of them, of the adults in those 40 years came out. And now we've got an entire new group of people And he's telling them, all the 12 tribes, take heed that you love the Lord your God. All right, chapter, Psalm 31. And let's look here in verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Are you a saint of God? You're saved, you are. And we're told to love the Lord, our God. And he even preserves the faithful. And that's good news. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8:28. Most people remove the key to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It didn't say to them that are saved. It's not all the saved love God any more than all the Israelites love God. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And you understand what I'm doing here. I'm just trying to get certain passages here that'll kind of invite your own little study. You can go off in little trails and so forth. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. The story was told about a young man that got saved, been coming to church for some time, got saved and then was going up to a summer camp in Minnesota. And he was going to work with logging and things like that. And so he was all excited about going up and letting people know who he was and so forth. And he got up there and came back. And they asked him how it went. And he said, really good. Nobody knew who I was. If any man love God, the same is known of him. If we have the truth of something, why do we hide it? Why don't we just live it and let people know this is who we are for sure? And then First John chapter 4. In verse 9 and then verse 10. He that loveth, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Everything comes back to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he came here to do and what he did in our behalf. Now, in John 5:42, our Lord is addressing the Jewish leaders, and he said, there's no love of God in you. None at all, because you don't know me. You don't even know God. And there again, here's where you get Bible versus the world, because the world will say, oh no, those people love God. If they're lost, how can they love God if they don't know him? And he doesn't know them. All right, so we have the love of God toward man, the love of man toward God, and now the love of man to man, the brethren, all right, in a pure form. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now that's pretty clear. Everyone that loveth is of God. And we should love one another. Of course, the Lord told us that in John chapter 13, verse 34. That we are to love the brethren as the Lord Jesus Christ loved us. All right, go to Romans chapter 12. Now, hopefully, as we looked at God's love toward us, there's no disconnect. And hopefully, as we look at man's love toward God, there's no disconnect. But here's where the disconnect starts to creep in. We're told, a new commandment I've given to you, that you love, as the Father loves me, so love I you, and we're to love the brethren the same way that Christ loved us. And we just saw the passages in 1 John 4. Now look at Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Now, you don't have to be saved to do this, but I've noticed a lot of times this doesn't happen very often, that it used to be the ladies never did their gas. The men did that. It used to be that when a couple would go toward a door, the man would hold the door for the woman. Do you remember times like that? What does it say? In honor, preferring one another. It has to do with your preference let aside for the brethren. You don't. It's interesting when we had more and they were all going back for junior church, and there was Hayden made sure he was first. Hayden is a child, and the others, you know, would follow suit. Wouldn't it be horrible if all of them tried to get through the door at the same time? But as Hayden grows up, I think he may learn, I don't need to be first. Let somebody else be first. Let somebody else get the credit. What does it matter? Anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So I could just stop right there. There's no need for me to tell you, because God's already told you to love one another. But I have one more. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And let's look here at verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. All right? That is not a word. Continue is not a word that has an ending. It means not until the end of a service, not until the end of the day, not until the end of the month or the week or the year or your life. Let it continue. Right. And continue. Right. And continue. All right? So, last one. The love of man to Satan. 1 Corinthians 4. Tie some things together here. Hopefully you have done this a long time ago, because it's important when you tie Satan with certain things. 2 Corinthians, isn't it? 4, 3. Yes, it is. 2 Corinthians 4. Sorry. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. All right, Satan is the god of this world. He's the god of this world system. And many times when we talk about the world, we're not talking about the earth, we're talking about the system of the world. Now, he is the god of this world. If you're lost, he's your father. He's also your God. And we found in Ephesians chapter 2, it speaks, we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. First Ephesians chapter 2, where in time past, 2:2, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I mean, I can testify that this is the direction I walked. according to the course of the world. And the course of the world is satanic. And according to the prince of the power of the air, which is at work in all lost people, to be disobedient. So when we think of the world, go to 1 John 2. I remember I was teaching in the book of James. And the book of James is a test of different things in the book of James. James chapter 4 is a test of your worldliness. And the worldliness has to do with your love for the world. And when we do that, we've become enemies of the Lord. Because the world has nothing to do with Christ. Christ has nothing to do with the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, and that's important. So look at 1 John chapter 2 in verse 15. We have a specific command. Love not the world. Why? It's satanic. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How tragic it is to love the world system. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All three of that makes up the world. When his system is designed, number one, to keep you from being saved, blinding you to salvation, and if you are saved, to destroy you, to destroy your testimony. There are a number of things, and then I've got a couple of articles I want to read real quick. There's some areas that there are some areas that Satan would love for you to follow him into. Number one, your heart. And the reason for that is so that it's not God's alone. Remember Solomon asked of his son, "My son, give me thine heart." But if you have a divided heart, then it's not solely God's. Number two, your concerns. If you give him your concerns, you'll doubt his love and provision for you. You'll question, why this isn't happening and that's not happening. Number three, your everyday thinking, so that you can be just like the world. Number four, your speech, to tear down truth and things that speak the truth, or people that speak the truth. Number five, your body, so that your body no longer glorifies God. All right, so the love of man to Satan. I have two articles that deal with this, and I'll be real quick. And most everything I'm reading is from the article. There are many kinds of love. Romantic, parental, maternal, patriotic, self, idols, reading of books, and a number of other things. In my experience, Satan has demonstrated all of these and no doubt further aspects of love that I don't have words to explain. Many Christians would have you believe that their God has the monopoly on love and that Satan represents all that is unlovely. Naturally, I think this is a gross perversion of the truth, and I want to set the record straight. Satan's love is deep and profound. It is part of his power and presence in the lives of all of us who honor and respect him. He has manifested his love to me in all the ways mentioned above, but also in so many other ways. He is the truest, most unselfish love there is. Compared to Jehovah God, who wants his children to remain forever as mindless slaves, who teaches children that they can never equal him, let alone surpass him, and that it is evil and heretical even to consider the possibility, who teaches his children that their own works are useless and that their only hope of a happy future is to give up their will and critical thinking and blindly do what the church says is Jesus' will. A God who says, oh, you were all born with an illness called sin, and the only cure is on the grace and favor of God. You see how that gets twisted? Here's the other one. I see a red door. I want to paint it black. I'm a born Satanist. I'm a happy little blob of custard you cannot nail to any wall. Tell me how negative I am. Tell me how I'm filled with hate. You're not just stupid, you're wrong. Dracula loved his brides. Dr. Frankenstein loved his monster. It shows the intelligence of a chair that this person's talking with. My satanic love burns fiercely. It's compromising, uncompromising, and perfect. Firstly, necessarily, I love myself. I'm my own God. After all, I put no other gods before me. I'm uppermost in my mind. I always bring myself flowers. Sometimes I realize I could have done better. Sometimes I make mistakes. It's wonderful how I learn from these things. It's exciting to have an opportunity to be an even better me. Even when I deny myself, withhold gratification, it's always in order to fulfill something even more fulfilling and worthwhile down the road. That is why I hate so purely, so irrevocably, anything that wastes my precious time, attention, and energy. Satan is my mentor, my master, my very best friend. All right. These are people that are involved in Satanism in its pure form. They're a little bit more honest than the people who tend to straddle the fence. And the moment you're away from here, you're in the world. And when you're in here, you're not in the world. But listen, you've got to understand that there are people, more people, that are loving Satan than are loving God. And they're not calling it that. They're just calling it, oh, well, you know, we've got to appreciate all of these things. I'm not saying you don't need to appreciate it. You just can't love them. Because love is of God, and God is love. And he's not any part of the world. Remember in John 15, he said, the world hates me, it's going to hate you. Why? Well, Satan hates us. He doesn't necessarily love us. But why should we love him and his system? His system is destined to fail. God's system is destined to go for eternity. So when we compare these things, don't misunderstand. God has a tremendous love for you. I hope we have a tremendous love for him in return, and I hope we have a tremendous love for one another, and that we have no love for Satan and his world system. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time here. A little quick, couldn't get into some things, but hopefully we were able to see some things that have been helpful. We pray that you would bind these scriptures to our heart. We would know where we stand before you in all things. We thank you, Father, for the food we're about to enjoy. We thank you for the sacrifices that many have made or purchased in order for us to eat here tonight. We pray to be a good time of fellowship with each other, and that we will get to know each other better than we did before. And if we don't know somebody, that we'd make an effort to get to know them better, if at all. And we just thank you for what you're about to do. Thank you for what you've done already. Give us a good time now and safety as we go to our places. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area he is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust him as your personal Savior, he will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in his finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him.
He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.